Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Let's talk about UNRWA. We know this. We know that there have been serious allegations that have surfaced about UNRWA, and they keep resurfacing. The question is, what is real? What is propaganda? What is really going on? And how this is likely to play out? To help us sift through this is Anne Hertzberg. She's legal advisor at NGO Monitor. A very good morning. Thanks once again for joining us. For anyone who is unfamiliar with the details, what is UNRWA, what is their scope, and what has gone wrong?
Sure, good morning. So UNRWA is a UN agency that was established in the wake of the 1948 war, and people may not know that it was established to help all refugees mm-hmm. of the war, not just Arab refugees, but also Jewish refugees. But it morphed over time into this agency that really began to serve a political purpose. It was exempted from the general refugee framework, the Refugee Convention. They excluded UNRWA from that because they wanted to maintain the refugees as a political issue. Mm-hmm. And therefore, Palestinians have a separate agency that deals with them. But this agency does not talk about resettlement in other countries, which is what typically happens with refugees. It instead promotes a ideology of quote-unquote return, meaning destruction of Israel, essentially, that Palestinians should be able to, in the millions, move to Israel and essentially destroy the country. And also they took over the schools and really became integrated into the political framework. And unfortunately in Gaza, that meant Hamas. And so that, and unlike also other refugees and other refugee frameworks, the person who is displaced from the war is the refugee. Mm. It is not generations and generations of people in that family, which is what UNRWA has been doing. So even if you live in what they call the quote-unquote state of Palestine, they are considered a refugee. If they have lived in the UK for 40 years, UNRWA still considers them a refugee. So this agency has been funded to the tune of billions and billions of taxpayer dollars from around the world, and perpetuates again this fantasy that Israel one day will no longer exist.
The fact that I found it so interesting, because refugees from Gaza, Palestinian refugees, are definitely treated differently. And see that here in South Africa, they have stopped officially all any flights of refugees coming from Gaza, because that feeds into Israel's, they claim that Israel is ethnically cleansing the area. So if effectively what they're saying is Gazan refugees have no agency, they've got to be locked in into this war-torn area, not allowed to leave, according to the South Africans, at least, because it feeds Israel, but it aligns with Israel's goals if they do leave. It would be unheard of to tell Syrian refugees or refugees from any other country that you have to stay there because otherwise you are giving somebody else a win.
Yeah, and I think that's a great example of how the Palestinian conflict is where international law and standards go to die. Mm. Because we not only see that from South Africa, but of course, for many years, there are quote-unquote Palestinian refugees that have been living in Syria, Jordan, Lebanon for decades, and those countries refuse to integrate them into their populations, even though they've been living there. Or Jordan is 70% Palestinian, and yet they are still treated as quote-unquote refugees. And again, that the arguments that you're saying that South Africa is putting forth about these flights, and also the NGOs are doing this as well, is promoting this political purpose that the Palestinians have to be there in order to serve as a weapon in the campaign to destroy Israel. And this is not, it's become patently clear in this war. So even when Israel was trying to move civilian populations out of areas where they were going to be attacking Hamas tunnels, that suddenly became ethnic cleansing. You know, but in Mosul, when the U.S. and other forces were going in to get rid of ISIS, the NGOs actively helped them move civilian populations out of harm's way. So everything we see is flipped around.
The United Nations have taken very, very little responsibility for the actions of UNRWA, certainly publicly. Have they done anything? Have they addressed this at least privately? Do we see any change coming out of UNRWA following October 7th?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, we do not. And this, again, has been a problem for decades. You know, there's long been allegations about terrorist infiltration of UNRWA, that there's been whistleblowers from time to time, but they largely go ignored. And of course, after the shocking, I mean, they couldn't deny it anymore because they had video evidence of UNRWA employees stealing bodies and participating in October 7th, and hostages coming back saying they were held in UNRWA facilities. So it got to the point where they couldn't hide it anymore. But, you know, we see this now, and we see a lot of their allied countries, again, the most hostile countries to Israel, are trying to prop up UNRWA. So, of course, we have this fallacious International Court of Justice advisory opinion a few months ago, you know, claiming UNRWA is indispensable and you can't do anything to block UNRWA. And again, I think that it's because of the political purpose UNRWA serves. If you've been involved in an agency that has done what UNRWA has done, radicalized millions of children, participated in war crimes, crimes against humanity and atrocities, you would be shut down, you know, but too many countries look at UNRWA as a political weapon again, and that's why they refuse to get rid of it, unfortunately.
The United States, as well as Israel and a number of other countries, have taken quite a firm stance. Will this impact the future of the organization?
So, you know, right now with this civilian military coordination committee that's working on the Gaza reconstruction, which is run by the Americans but is in joint cooperation with Israel and many other countries, UNRWA has definitely been sidelined in that operation. And I think for Israel and the United States, UNRWA is a non-starter. So as long as they're in control of what's happening, I think UNRWA will continue to be marginalized. But again, you know, if there's a change in political leadership, let's say in the United States, that could change in the next few years. But right now, that's again why we see this battle, you know, the ICJ and UN officials in certain countries against the United States, because they don't want to lose UNRWA. But I think that also shows why that is exactly where people should be directing their energies in that campaign.
Is UNRWA savable?
No, not in its current iteration, because it was infiltrated by Hamas. There was a study by the Wall Street Journal that found that membership in UNRWA was higher than in the general Gaza population, which is quite telling.
Yeah.
And they've indoctrinated millions of children for over decades and refused to change. So I don't think they're sustainable. It would require massive amounts of reform, monitoring, and oversight, and I'm not sure that the people in charge of UNRWA are capable of doing that.
That is where we do need to leave it. Anne Herzberg, thank you, as always, talking to us about UNRWA.